The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA. I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it.
Peace and love, everyone. Thank you all for coming to the Who's On Content live discussion this evening. You all look lovely. It is Fashion Week, and you guys are all killing it. This discussion today is on the content of fashion inclusivity. There is a moderator today that I would like to introduce to you all, the one and only man himself, EJ James. Give a round of applause, ladies and gentlemen.
How we feeling? We feeling good? All right. I want to just thank you all so, so much for coming out to our first live discussion of Who's On Content. It's an original podcast produced by the Digital Brand Architects, which is the world's largest digital talent management agency owned by UTA. And so today we're going to talk about fashion inclusivity. I'm going to just get right into it because I don't like to hold your time. You're here for the conversation. So I want to bring out the first, the one, the only, the bestie herself, Achinga Gutu. Come on, mamas. Next up, I have the one, the only, Nicolette Mason. And last and most certainly, not least, it is the twirl sister herself, the colorful queen, Tanika Boy. Let's go. Come on, mama. Yes. So, how we feeling? Yes, the green. How are we feeling, ladies?
Feeling good. Great.
Feel good? Great. So you know how this goes. There are no questions. It's more so a conversation. I like the podcast to really feel like you tapped into the wrong conference line and you're like, oh, bitch, what they talking about? This sounds like some shit I need to hear. So this is a brave space. We don't believe in safe spaces. Brave spaces allow you to boldly show up as yourself. So if you want to say, I fucking hate it, you fucking hate it. And if you was like, I was being a bitch, say it with your chest, boldly be who you are. You ladies have amazing platforms. You are of influence and you influence others. And so I want them to see you boldly stand and speak in your truth in order for them to boldly stand and speak in their truth when they leave this event today. All right? So let's get into the content of beginnings. Give us the content of receipts. Let these girls know who you are, what you do, but then also let us know, how do you define content?
Hello to all you sexy humans of the world. My name is Achinga Gutu. I'm an iconic human of the internet.
Yes.
I am a CEO and founder of No Ordinary Noir.
Yes. Okay?
I do everything content in terms of confidence, living your best life, self-love, healing, and just being the best, the one and only, the baddest bitch who's walking this earth, okay? So that's what I do. And sorry, what was the other question, baby?
How do you define content?
I said, like, content for me is, there was a point in my life where I felt like things just had to be like so perfect, the perfect grid, the perfect photo, the best lighting and all that. But right now, content is just my life.
Period.
Listen, this right now, you see this? This is content, bitch. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay,
so, as in, content is whatever you make it. It doesn't have to have like a, what is it? Like a timeline. It doesn't have to have like specific like a rubric. It is whatever it is. Listen, y'all. I was on TikTok last week. I found rock TikTok. There's a man who gets 1 million views every day. He's talking about rocks. That's content. Content is whatever you make it. It's whatever you want it to be. And that's on there.
Take it away.
Hi, my name is Nicolette Mason. I am a brand strategist and consultant. I've worked in fashion and beauty for almost 15 years, which is wild. And I focus predominantly on size inclusion, diversity, and LGBTQ inclusion. I just really show up for, I'm sure as many of us relate to, people who are not often accounted for in fashion and beauty. And it has been like my life's work and dream to do that and be part of that advocacy and movement. And what content is, everything is content. We know that TikTok sound, everything is content. But for me, I would add the caveat that content comes with intentionality. And I try to be really intentional and thoughtful about what I put out and what I share. I believe our energy is so infectious. If I didn't believe that before following a Chang, I do now. But our energy is so contagious and infectious. And I believe in our ability to inspire and empower. So I really try to do that through my platforms.
Go ahead, sis. Take it home.
I am Tanika.
With an exclamation point.
Oh, I am, I would say by most days, I am Kennedy's mom, who is a 16-year-old who I just love and adore. And I always say she really freed me, and I really think about Black motherhood as a liberatory thing, and I grew up not believing that. But that is what I am most days. Some people might know me from the internet. I work on colorful content, especially fashion content, and I just show up online as a rich auntie. I am just, yes, I'm just auntie. Yes. Come on now.
You need a gold nameplate because that is you.
Yeah.
Tanika Boy.
You just realized,
the rich
AJ?
Auntie. Mm-hmm.
Get into it. Yes.
Okay.
So what is content to me? I think content, like both the ladies said, I think it's just showing up online authentically. I think what's been so refreshing about the past 2 years in the panorama is, you know, it's just been a fresh batch of content creators who've pushed past this like perfect feed, mm-hmm. this filler feed, and have found just so much success online, not just on TikTok, but also on Instagram, and really pushing the boundaries of what is possible, both in terms of image and like what a content creator was. And I know we're going to get into it.
You know we're going to get into it. And so what I want to get into is the definition of inclusion, which is the action of including in a considered structure or group, right? So it's this idea that we must include people in this area, or we must be inclusive of all types of people within a certain structure. Let's talk about the structure of the fashion industry and how for so long that structure was ironclad, cemented down, because she was marble. Mm-hmm. And we have come to a space and place where there are a lot more diverse representation, both behind the scenes and on the runway. But even still, there are so many designers, especially designers of color, that struggle to make ends meet. They don't have the retail expansion that other white businesses have. They don't have the funding, right? And so what I want to talk about, and I want each of you to kind of give your take on this, why is it still so hard? And why do we now, with Black and Fashion Council and Black and Corporate and Black and every group to hold this fashion industry accountable, you know, giving us reports and letting us know, why is it still so hard for fashion to truly be inclusive? And Tanika, we're going to start with you.
Look, because I'm ready. You see this.
Girl, that mic was like.
Here's the thing. In my past life, I worked in politics and social justice. Literally, I would say like the weekend of George Floyd's death, Lisa from my team. You know, we started working on or expanding on the work that we did at ACLU around police reform. I worked it for President Obama. I was the chief of staff at Color of Change, where I met DeVorin, which is a racial justice organization. And so I just wanted to say that before I say this, which is representation is not freedom. It's not liberatory. We're not going to get to anywhere we need to be through representation. And when Black and brown creators are asking for access, oftentimes the response from our communities is, why y'all begging to be included in spaces if they don't want you, Black economic empowerment requires a 360-degree approach.
Period.
And we're not there. And so I support Black designers. I wear Black designers. I've always supported Black designers. I grew up in a very progressive, liberatory Black home. And even if I only shop Black designers for the rest of my life, I still don't want it to only be a white space over there. nowhere in this country, on this earth, really, should there be white exclusive spaces.
Because it's almost like moving the goalposts. It reminds me of, what's that Geico commercial? Oh, you almost got it. Oh, you almost, it's like the fishing line where they are literally holding the dollar, you know, to all of your dreams coming true, but keep moving the height of the dollar.
They are at a place, and I got a little Baptist preacher in my blood, so I'm going to
okay, so
my,
now hold on.
But I want to say this point, which is, I mean, they are at such an infancy stage that we're talking about there should be more Black women included in spaces and not just the same shade of Black women, like colorism and trans issues, queer issues. I mean, please.
Okay. Please. Nicolette, continue.
I mean, we're talking about an industry that is still so rooted in racism, sizeism, fat phobia, ableism.
All the things.
Like, we think of fashion as being progressive in terms of queer issues. It is not. I always think about this, but when I entered the industry and signed with DBA 10 years ago, and there was a brand, an Italian luxury brand that I really wanted to work with. I was really excited to work with. They do make plus sizes. And I was so excited to maybe work with this brand. And they were like, you know what? We love Nicolette, but we can't work with her because she's openly gay. And I was like, wow. Okay, that was a big slap.
And you know
in
what's
the
funny?
Face.
They had the balls to even say that that's the reason, right?
Yeah.
But yet we hide who we are to be accepted by people that are willing to say why you're not accepted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, so often it's really veiled and it's coded it's and like, we're given other reasons. Like,
not
oh,
our
it's
customer.
Not our market. Exactly. That's not our customer. That's not our market. Which, how do you know if you won't cater to the market? But yeah, this is just, the industry is so deeply rooted in white supremacy and all of the other things that white supremacy dictates. And it takes a really active pushing against that, unlearning, and also support of people in power. And that's difficult when people aren't willing to give up their power.
True. A chain. Run it on up.
You know, I feel like the fashion industry right now is kind of like talking to a brick wall, right? And I'm tired of this thing about, oh, we need diversity. Those people are not going to listen to us.
Yeah.
And that's on that. Whether it's talking about skin, like race, or talking about body inclusivity, or people just within the, you know, within fashion who deserve to be seen, right?
Yeah.
It's like talking to a brick wall. Yeah. And so I think I'm at that place in my life where, please, let's make our table and let's sit at it. Because what are we waiting for?
Period. Period.
What are we waiting? We're going to wait for Dior to come up with a size 16? Because that's never going to happen. Okay? Why don't we just
Although
what?
You better zip this dress down they do when you got the coins.
Period. That's true, though.
Nene Leakes said when you have the coins.
You know, what I'm getting to is, like, it's about setting your table, you know? Yep. Setting your table and opening that space for other people. Or, you know, setting the table for yourself because you need to put yourself first, too. Right?
That part.
And so why do we need to keep on talking to these brands, this industry that has not, that doesn't want anything to do with us, doesn't have our best intention in mind.
But I think that is exactly what you were referring to, right? 360 representation. And I think sometimes I always say, girl, I'm gonna show up with these pearl gloves on a Monday meeting. I'm gonna boldly wear this Prada hat in a business meeting because I work in a very brave space where I can show up as myself, right? I love this industry for that reason. But there are spaces that I am not allowed in. And it's not that I want to be in those spaces. It's just, to your point, 360 representation. I just need to know that bitch exists, right? Because then that way, I can't build something if I don't see what that something is. So you need to exist in spaces and places where you never existed before in order to drink from the well and refill it. And so, Tanika, I want you to talk about how all of the work you've done that's been rooted in civil rights and justice and liberty, you know, all of these things, you're creating fashion, colorful fashion content. When the girls was like, Black girls, we do not wear all this color. And you like, girl, who? What?
I'm like, what Black girls?
How do you use your fashion content to inspire people but also challenge the industry?
You know, somebody said under one of my videos, they was like, Tanika is going to give you, what did they say, a Chanel bag and talking about capitalism, make it make sense. And you know what? That is true.
Same
that
though.
Is true.
You was like, you know what?
I'm fearful. Like, you know what? Contradictory. That is me. That it's really giving that. It's really
it's giving that.
That. It's really giving that. I think I got really lucky making content, I think, in my 30s, right? Yeah. I just started making content, you know, 2 years ago.
Every time you say that, I'd be like, sis, what?
No, yeah. I'm so
because
so
you
like,
was bored in the house and in the house
but
bored.
I was a full-grown person, right? And so this industry was going to take me or not,
right?
Right? And I wasn't willing to negotiate, like, parts of my identity. I think one of the things that really worked out for me, though, is that I found my people.
Mm-hmm.
And my people found me. And I was just able to show up and talk about what it means to be just like a first generation middle class. I might be past middle class at this point. But you know what I'm saying?
Period.
Now we clapping about the coin.
We got it. Because Kennedy gonna start at a different space.
Oh, please. We all need Kennedy's life. Come on. But you know, it's like, I think you just, it wasn't, people weren't talking about that authentically, even though they were experiencing it. Mm. Right, people weren't talking about the survivor's guilt you feel when you buy something really expensive, knowing that somebody in your family is going to need to borrow $100, $200. Yeah. And also, I think a lot of Black content creators were trying to survive in a space, again, that wasn't meant for us. And so they were not necessarily drawn to neutrals, though people are drawn to neutrals. Neutrals is wonderful. The people think I hate neutrals. It's some people that work with me that's like, really? You all color all the time? I get it. But my point is that was all you could be as a content creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the content creators who were doing this for 10, 15 years were just really shocked. And I was just like, why are you shocked? Because your mama dressed like, your mama be in green shoes with green socks, with green toenails, with green.
The shoes match the bag, match the hat,
match the eyeshadow,
girl.
Match the hair, match the earrings.
I always say that's MJB
lipstick.
Styling, because Mary J. Blige will give you a good
head.
Yeah,
I'm like, this is who we are. We are colorful people.
Baby.
Like, I'm not going to hide, you know, being a colorful person. Also, just like really leaning into this idea of, especially I think as a multi-generational Black American, that like, this, you know, our continent, the continent of Africa, is what's hot, it's what's now. You know, we have a wealth of resources on that continent, making sure people understand that, leaning into that.
Yeah.
Like, this is, we come from
it's
rich,
who we are.
A rich culture in the entire diaspora. And I think people really want to see that. And I think that's really what led to, you know, some of my success.
I love it for you. And so, Nicolette, I have known your work for a very long time. And sis, you ain't never scared. You ain't never scared to say shit with your chest, speak on some bullshit. And because you were so vocal with one retailer a long time ago, you, Chastity, and Gabby Gregg had brought the girls to the carpet and said, enough is enough. And from that, launched a little brand in Target called Ava and Viv. I was at the PR agency when that launched, so... Tell the girls about that experience, because at the time, that was the largest retailer doing fashion designer collaborations that brought it to mass market. But again, mass retailer. Like, they sold laundry detergent and Joseph Altuzarra, but you couldn't go, and you said enough is enough.
Yeah, I mean, I really have to credit Chastity Garner for that, because she was really the one to say, you know what? Fuck this. Like, Target wants to take our dollars, but doesn't want us to be in the store, doesn't want us to be in these special designer moments. So I can't take the credit for that. That was Chastity. She is amazing. If you don't know her, please follow her. She's been such
Garner
a trailblazer.
Style.
Love her. But I was very much part of this movement in this moment. And when you said, like, you called out Brown, I was like, well, which one?
Yeah, so talk about that.
There's,
like, I think
there's been a lot.
Right.
And a lot of it has, and a lot of it has really led to monumental change. And it's really surreal. I think about this a lot. Where I started with the fashion industry, the place that we were in as an industry in terms of size inclusion, when I came into this space, I started blogging in 2008. It's 2022, like, it's been a minute. And when I started blogging, and then I was brought in at Marie Claire, as a columnist to cover plus size fashion, which, by the way, was also because I called them out. Fun story.
Close mouths, don't get fed.
Yeah. So, you know, it's been a really wild ride. And I know that it is because of not just me. I am very, very blessed to have an incredible group of peers who have really fought the fight.
Yeah, and are still fighting.
And are still fighting and are still part of this uphill battle in an industry that actively tries to exclude us from the conversation. Yep. Like Tanika said, average women's size in America is a size 16.
Yep.
68% of women in America wear plus sizes. Do you know what percentage of, let's just take the top 25 stores in the country, what percentage of their assortment accounts for plus sizes?
Tell us.
Yes. Any number. 2%.
Ladies and gentlemen, who's on content? Nicolette Mason. And so 2%. I want to talk to Aching. Because Aching, you're going to sum up exactly what Tanika's talking about and exactly what Nicolette is talking about. You are a baby. You are the colorful bestie, right? Honey, you are sparkling from over here. And you would be considered plus size. And ARC is considered plus size to most brands that you work with, right?
Yes.
And so you also are darker skin. Hey,
Miss. That's what I'd be.
Hey. Ball headed. You know what I mean? You're very loud. You're all the things that would be considered not our customer. And so with your content, was it the confidence that you didn't receive from the content that said that you weren't enough? That you felt like, if I feel like this, somebody else feels like this, let me at least just inspire the girls because I'm not consuming anything inspiring right now.
Yeah, I think I just got to a point where the only person I was looking up to was Lupita Nyong'o. That was the only person who looked like me.
Talk about it.
Talked like me, had the same life experiences as me, and I needed more than that, right? So I wasn't going to wait for the motivation. I wasn't going to wait for the representation. I was going to do it myself. And so I decided, like, I need to find, you know, first of all, I need to be my own best friend. I need to find myself. I need to find that confidence, that energy. Because listen, we have one tantalizing life on this earth. And why are we living it for somebody else? Why are we living it for the opinion of others? Why are we living it for our parents, for our family, for our friends, for our partners? One life, that's what you've got.
You better be the main character.
Period. And so I was just in a place in my life where I felt like I just needed to do it for myself. So I started for myself. And I started getting a ton of feedback from other women who were just going through things that I'm going through and saying like, yo, thank you so much for posting that. Thank you so much for doing that. That made me feel like I could wear this dress today. I've not been living life for the last year because I've been too afraid to wear a bikini. I've not gone on vacation. I've not done this. I didn't apply to that job. And when that started happening, that's when I was like, okay, we're living for the girls, okay?
Period.
Because who's on content? I'm on content.
Always.
Okay, period.
I love that. And I think, you know, it's exactly what you said, right? I wasn't able to wear that bikini. And we were talking backstage about even, you know, certain sizes. The girls be like, put that stomach away. You know, Nicolette, you were like, oh my God, like I was like, what am I going to wear? It's like this idea that if you are plus size, you have to cover up, right?
Or you have to be super sexy. You have to be super overtly feminine. Like, there's just so many expectations of you have to be this.
Yeah.
And we need possibility models to show us that we can be whatever the fuck we want to be.
Possibility,
possibility models.
Okay, Nicolette.
Now, hold on. Introduce me to something new.
Girl, do I gotta keep score? You better keep up.
I don't know if it's my term. It might be, but I like don't want to take someone else's attribution, but possibility models, big thing for me.
I love really that, and I love that. And I want to hear from anybody, not everybody, we're on time limit, but tell me what content you're consuming today that tells you that this work, the wheels of change turn slowly. What are you consuming that's still telling you the girls ain't woke yet?
I can say what I've decided to block.
Come on.
And put in my do not come down my timeline
on TikTok.
Not interested.
Yeah, the world is oversaturated with the image of the millions of followers, tall, thin, pale. And this is race neutral. right? I blocked those people down my timeline, and I'm consuming Southern Black Grandma
Come
in
on.
The garden.
Come on.
They're showing me, I like the farmers of TikTok, the Black farmers of TikTok.
Yes.
I love the skincare TikTok. And I just like to consume content that fills me up. I love to watch, especially newer content creators.
Yeah.
A lot of Black girls who are not necessarily gaining traction
yep.
yet, but you just know. You just know.
She coming.
You know she coming. Like she, this the one. She's coming.
And so
that's what I love to consume.
And I'm loving all the Black male content because a lot of conversations.
Yes.
And less, you know, we're talking about inclusivity. A lot of Black conversations around diversity and inclusion do not include Black men.
Mm-hmm.
They say Black women, Black people, Black children, Black families. And so there are so many brave spaces online now for Black men to find other Black men that actually like to wash their face,
mm-hmm.
get their nails done.
Yeah.
And
why are you doing
that? Don't necessarily have to subscribe to a certain sexuality. And so the beauty of digital content, the beauty of what we do every day is you have one or two options. You can build an audience, and that's for the girls that just want to go viral. They're going to like your content. But what you really need to do is create community cultivating content because a community invests in you. A community is like, hold up, I got, they will
that's
police the girls
girl.
In the comments.
They in the comments arguing
the
with the
nieces
people.
Is in the comments.
I'll be like, get them.
But also, I feel like on top of that, I feel like on top of just like building an audience, I think, you know, we're in a place in just society where when you're building a platform, people want to feel something, you know? People want to feel inspired. People want to feel like they, you know, they can do things with their lives. So on top of just like posting the cute picture and showing us where you went in Tulum, love that. It's all about creating content that makes people feel something, that evokes something in someone. And that's really what creates a really authentic audience for you. And that's why the girls are fighting in your car when somebody says, Tanika, no, shut your mouth. What
I'm
you
like,
mean?
I already know.
She
you
got
know.
It.
My girl Tracy.
She's
I never
she's
met right. this lady in my life. I live for her.
Shout out to
Tracy from D.C. She be in them comments.
Period. Because the DMV girls don't play, especially from PG
Tracy.
County. Listen. And look, I had to spill the water for the girls not from PG County. But, you know, and that's exactly what is the beauty, like I said, about what we do, right? And so, shameless plug, because girl, DBA is launching Influence 3 on Tuesday, which is going to be a community and education-based platform for content creators, for talent in their communities to learn more about what the fuck is Web3, right? We keep hearing that the next iteration of how we will engage is in this Web3 space. I was a skeptic. I ain't gonna lie. I was like, girl, it's giving Blade Runner, it's giving Ready Player One. It's like, no, ma'am. But honestly, I think what's gonna be revolutionary is the idea where we can truly be with community and be almost more inspired because you'll be in that safe, brave space all the time. And from there, it's like, oh no, I can actually go out into the real world and be that bitch because I've spent hours and hours with other people, not just liking their comment, but actually engaging with them in a meaningful way. Before we get into Q&A, I always like to do a little rapid fire. Your favorite form of content?
Video.
Who's on content?
I was gonna say videos too, but I love video content of people challenging fashion barriers
okay.
and the norms. I'm tired of seeing the same old thing. I like challenging the fashion norms and being culturally responsive.
I love that. Nicolette, your favorite form?
That.
Okay, period.
That, but in addition to that, my saved search feed on The Real Real is really good. I look at it multiple times a day.
I love The Real Real TikTok.
Because I am a luxury fashion girly, even though the luxury fashion space does not want me. They will learn. I am making space, exactly. And that The Real Real feed reminds me.
I love that.
Multiple times a day.
I love that.
I would say mine is Black women. That's it.
Yeah.
Black women finding love.
Yes.
Black women living in luxury.
Come on.
Black women healing.
Yes.
Black women getting a bag, living their lives, doing
yes.
that. Black women. That's
okay.
it.
Black men is my content.
Black men too.
Okay. Period.
Black men. You listen, can I period. Plug some black men? Is there black? Okay. Why are the black men in this place?
Because baby,
black men.
Listen, black they men. Been listen, front, I think, and they fresh as heck.
Fresh, too fresh. Listen, okay. I want to see more black men really creating content.
Yes.
Because I feel like you really talked about that, but it's so important.
We talk about it.
It is
all,
so healing.
It's so
seeing
healing.
Black men just living life. That morning routine.
Next rapid fire question: you need a reset. Who's on content? For me, I need a flight.
Oh, I take a flight. Yeah,
I'm, period.
I'm catching a flight.
Yeah, I'm going a Delta flight directly to the continent. Period.
Effective immediately. I'm leaving.
Yeah, like I'm out of here.
I'm leaving the vicinity.
Yeah, but sunlight on the continent. Black people. Yeah. Good food.
Period.
Yes.
Period.
Vibes and a beach. Yes.
For me, it's really connecting with community. I'm not to sound super woo-woo, but like my queer community, my fat community, my Middle Eastern community, like I need to be with my people.
Come on.
And they always remind me who I am, what I'm doing, what I've done. And that sets me on the right path every time.
All right. You need to be inspired. Who's on content?
My mother. Listen, my mom, she is that girl. Listen, she's just the most amazing person I've ever met in my entire life. We've been homies since 96. Love her. But yeah, my mother, she half my content is from my mom. Yeah, she's that girl, my mom.
I would say Ajin. I live for her. So, I live for her. She's everything. I live for her. I love like the inspiration. And I think to her point, just like, whenever I feel like I need to be fed, I feel like black women are doing the work online for free. And I'm just like, I just can't believe this stuff is free.
Right. And my very last question before we take these questions from this lovely audience, when you need to feel joy, who's on content?
Beyonce.
Rihanna.
Rihanna.
Baby.
Honestly, no, I feel like music is a
so
up and
healing.
Out for me for sure. Yes. Like we store so much trauma in our bodies.
Yes.
You have to have your body in motion and, you know, unclench that jaw, move your shoulders. Please move your shoulders.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to move our shoulders after
move
this.
Move your shoulders.
So you got to stop.
Hey. No, but yeah, Beyonce, music.
Period.
Do you guys follow Cirrus? Cirrus is, I am so obsessed with them. They are queer and non-binary and also Iranian. And
oh
when
my God, I know
who you're talking
in
about.
In my DMs,
yes.
The most amazing person ever.
When we connected, I was like, no, you're my cousin. Like biologically, you're my cousin. And it was such an empowering experience. Love them.
Close us out.
My love bug, my husband. Period. Yeah.
I know that's right. Ladies, I just want to thank you for your voices. I want to thank you for your platforms. I want to thank you for your influence. I want to thank you for what you do every day for yourself, but for the advancement of others. I always say that my entire life's purpose is to be of service to others. Mm-hmm. And with your content, you are serving so many people. And so I thank you. And with that, little house rules, we're going to do Q&A, 15 minutes. I got my timer. One person take a question. And so if anybody has a question, raise your hand before you actually say your question, wait for a mic. We have mics going around. So, question. Come on, Maria.
Hello, everyone. My name is Carolyn Gray. And literally have learned so much just in this session alone from each and every one of you. I have been struggling with the fight of find your niche, right? And I'm like, well, I got a lot of those if I really think about it. So what are your thoughts? I know one of y'all will answer this. About having one niche versus multiple.
One.
You don't have to like put yourself in a bubble,
babe.
You can do anything and everything, right? Because that's also opening up your other forms of revenue, right? So if you love beauty, do your makeup, but you're also showing the girls what you do in your house. You're showing the girls your outfit. You're showing the girls a travel, you know, vlog. You're showing the girls what you're eating, what you're cooking.
Yeah.
You don't have to. I feel like, you know, maybe a hot take, you don't need to find a niche.
I agree.
You do what you need to do, and there's an audience out there that is exactly, like knows exactly what you do and wants to be, you know, part of your audience, wants to follow you. You don't have to tie yourself down to one single thing. Live life, please. Come
and
on.
Period. And I'll actually close you out. Maria, I love you. I appreciate you. The niche is your main character-ism. Right? So when people say find your niche, who the fuck are you?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of girls are out here doing the exact same thing, mm-hmm. And they look like everyone else. And that's why you aren't getting the brand deals. That's why you're not growing a community. Because you look like, name them. If you want to cook, cook. But cook how you cook.
Yeah.
Don't be like, oh, I see. No. Be the main character. If you are constantly the supporting character in your own life, you're supporting other content influencers. That's why your content looks like you supporting the girls. Mm-hmm. Be your niche. Let's change. Find your niche and say, find the main character within you.
Period. Wait, right. can I just say one last thing?
Oh.
Wait, I'm going to say one last thing. Baby, people feel like when they're trying to find their niche that, oh, there's already so many people doing beauty. There's already so many people doing this. There's enough space for you. Yeah. I say this story every time on a panel, but go to your local, your favorite supermarket. I'm a Trader Joe's girl, okay? Mm-hmm. Black girls in Trader Joe's. Go to your favorite supermarket and go into the water aisle. And look at all the water brands that have been able to be brought to life.
Girl.
And understand that there is enough space for you. Because listen, people are like, oh, I'm a Fiji person, I'm a Voss person. Water that is free. Water that can be drinking from the tap, you know, for some people, right? Like, there is enough space for you. So go into that space and do whatever the heck you want to do, baby.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Another question. Right there, yes. Raise these hands.
Hi. So when y'all approach brand partnerships, like, how do you kind of choose a brand that's like actually trying to connect with your community in an authentic way?
There was something you asked earlier, EJ, that we didn't really touch on, and it was, what does inclusivity mean?
Yes.
And I think so many brands and marketing teams approach inclusivity as just a box that they're checking off.
Yep.
Right? And they're trying to just meet the criteria and get on with it. And inclusivity is not a box on a checklist. It is something that you have to continually aspire to and actually work towards.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no finish line for it. There's always more work to be done in terms of being inclusive. And that's what I really look for in brands. It's like, what is the work that they're doing? I don't want to just know about their casting and who they're hiring in the campaign. And it's not enough for it to be me in the door if nobody else is included. It's not enough for it to include one plus size person if that person does not have an intersectional identity. You know, like, there's so many ways to look at it. I really, really believe as a content creator that inclusion writers are really powerful. And so if I'm getting an opportunity, I want to know who else is getting a check. And if that is not a talent pool that I think reflects the inclusivity that they're trying to achieve, that's one place we can start. And then we go down the list and I'm like, okay, who's in your C-suite? What does your office look like? Who are the teams building out these campaigns?
Ask the questions.
And I'm asking all of that. And God bless Kirsten, my manager,
because
she knows my list of questions and she asks them ahead of time, because all of that is genuinely so important to me.
Yeah.
And I've lost out on a lot of money because of it. But I just feel like the cost of my values and my integrity and the things I believe in is so much more valuable than any check.
Thank you so much for being amazing. Thank you so much for showing up and showing out. The first of many Who's on Content, a live discussion, fashion inclusivity with Achinga Gutu, Nicolette Mason, and Tanika Boyd.
Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.